Star Fox game has arrived for Switch 2.
Yes, indeed.
Wow, it's been so long. We are celebrating by doing a really fun thing. We're ranking every game in the series. We're coming up with a tier list. We have a great poll from our wonderful community on which game they love the most.
Hidden gems, yes.
The people have spoken about Star Fox.
We had to go big because it is Star Fox week.
Yes.
We are on, welcome to day four.
Wow.
Of Star Fox week. Hopefully you have been following along. We've had some really great stuff. And we're capping it off with this podcast. And then tomorrow, we're going to have the game. We're going to be doing all of our big impressions on it. So it's been going fast. It's
just
been
like
very
an
fun. And it's been going fast.
Into space.
Like the hype R-Wing. We started right. We were reacting to this great VHS tape from Nintendo Power from 1997.
That was unhinged.
Which featured some
Mario torture?
IP abuse.
I was shocked.
That would not fly in this year.
I couldn't believe it.
In this year of Mario.
I was really shocked.
We had a great interview with one of the developers of Starlink, who
yes.
we just so happened to know, believe it or not.
Yeah.
And
we know people.
That is such a like interesting part of the Star Fox story
right.
over the decades, and this tantalizing look at like, oh, you can do a lot, a much kind of bigger scope game with that. So there's a lot of great stuff. Hope you check it all out.
Yes, yes. Everything's on the channel. We have a schedule. If you can pick and choose the things you want to watch. But yes, we're so glad you're here. We're excited to finish up Star Fox week with a bang. Tomorrow, but first today we have to do these rankings.
Yes.
We must.
We only do these themed weeks like once or twice a year. And
if any, we were just saying that we only did one last year for Donkey Kong. We hadn't even done one this year yet. So
that's what once or twice a year means.
More like once a year.
You are already talking about though the next themed week.
We have to do two
and
this year.
Our Patreon subscribers are soon going to be getting maybe a preview of what a future Zelda week could look like, because maybe you remember, if you're one of those sickos who makes it all the way to the end of these podcasts,
yes.
shout out to you.
Shout out to you.
We had some loose talk about, hey, we should get ocarinas.
Yeah.
And we should try and play those, and that would be fun. And it was kind of like a throwaway thing, but then after we hit stop,
we immediately hit go on Amazon.
I was like, no, I'm serious about that. I'm going to buy these ocarinas.
And they're not very expensive, and they're really fun. And I've always wanted to know what to
You can get
so
a
long.
Functional, nice-looking ocarina for like $20.
Right.
So we did that. We opened them up. We took some lessons.
Via the internet?
We figured out some Zelda songs, which can't be that hard because you're playing them on a Nintendo 64 controller.
I mean, you literally learned to play Zelda's Lullaby, I kid you guys not, in like 25 seconds.
What about you?
It took me a little longer.
Oh.
You have a background in playing the saxophone.
Well, you're always talking about, my mom's a music teacher. My mom is a piano
I'm not
teacher.
Talented
Let me
like
tell
her.
You this. I never heard you play the piano.
I'm not talented.
I don't know what that means about you.
I've never said anything about you. You have heard me play the piano. It's on video.
You?
I taught you how to play the Mario song.
I mean, that's
better than nothing.
Okay, fine.
Couldn't do it.
All right. Well, I'm going to teach you an ocarina.
Yes. Well, we learned from the internet. And it was really fun.
I can't wait
to learn more songs
yes.
on the ocarina.
So our Patreon subscribers are exclusively getting that little mini vlog.
Yes, how fun.
They're also getting, probably early next week, our story time for this month, which is, there's so many anniversaries. My gosh, it's the 30th anniversary of the Nintendo 64. It's the 35th anniversary of Sonic.
We're old.
It is also the 10-year anniversary of E3 2016, which, if you remember, was the Breath of the Wild E3, which is very unique and very special E3.
Yes.
We're doing a big look back at that.
Right.
In
wow.
our story time, we were there. We were very involved. We had a lot of great memories. A lot of great photos and such.
Oh, we really did. What
of
a
that.
Moment. What a moment in time
I found
that
some
was.
Archival footage that I have not revealed out of my personal vault.
I have a lot of stuff from that E3 as well. It just was very video heavy that year.
Yes.
So I might have some clips and things up my sleeve too, which is great.
So that's going to be very fun.
Yeah, yeah. Oh my gosh. I can't believe it. I feel, again, I once again feel old because it's been 10 years since that E3 and it feels very, very much like it was just yesterday.
Last, gosh, our Patreon subscribers are eating good. We are recording Is it tomorrow? Soon. By the end of the week, we will have recorded our Final Fantasy VII Crisis Core spoiler cast.
Yeah, we both finished the game.
And that
will be experience that was.
Yes,
there's going to be a ton of stuff for our wonderful Patreon community. Tons of exclusive stuff. So be sure to check us out on Patreon.
And I hesitate to get too far ahead of myself.
Why did you interrupt me when I was shouting out where to go on Patreon?
I'll say it again.
Patreon.com/KitAndKrista. What a rude thing to do to yourself.
I didn't hear you. Can you say it again? No. Anyways, I don't want to get ahead of myself, but the July spoiler cast situation is kind of a bloodbath because we have this new Deltarune chapter is kind of... What?
That's out.
What do you mean that's out?
We're not... We had said before that we weren't going to do another Deltarune until the game finishes. We already said that.
Well,
did
since when
forget?
Did you become such an annoying rule follower?
Right
That's
now.
What you always like to. I didn't follow rules. I do what I want.
I do what I want. I only follow the rules
when
I want to.
We have this. Who knows what the heck kind of new story might be in this Star Fox game?
Is
that deserving?
Yeah.
People seem to hate this voice acting. That's what we know so far. The game is not out by the time of us recording this, and the reviews are not yet out either.
Yeah.
So we don't know. Hey.
Play the demo.
Hey. Maybe the reason you hate the voice acting is because you've heard those exact same lines for like 29 years now.
Yeah.
And anything else your brain is going to reject.
It's just not, you're not used to it.
So maybe give it a week.
You have to hear it like, lock.
Yeah. And then we have both been very surprised by the adventures of Elliot.
Loving that.
In a good way.
Yes.
So I'm going to throw that red hat into the ring.
That red hat is squarely in the ring.
So it's like, I don't know. Those are three...
Pretty amazing. Two.
Pretty nice games.
Two.
We're not doing Deltarune. We'll talk about that later.
We're not going to talk about that. They were talking about it right now. We're not doing it. It's going to be either Star Fox or Adventures of Elliot.
Time for another vote.
I have spoken.
It's time for another vote.
No, the vote is by...
well, it's 50-50.
So a one-to-one.
We have to hand it to the community for a three-way tie. Get ready to do them all.
My vote's worth way more.
If you don't yield, we have to do them all.
You must yield.
You must.
You bend the knee. I will not be yielding.
You must yield. You've been watching Game of Thrones. I was just going to say, when you use that phrase, I know what's been going on. Wow. All right, it's almost time to rank some Star Fox. But first, we have another great new sponsor to shout out. This episode is sponsored by Square. And Square is the system that fixes one of the big headaches of running a business. And take it from us, running a business is very exciting, but it is complicated.
Very complicated.
Especially when it comes to dealing with payments and stuff, like scheduling, orders, reporting, all that. Square brings that all into one place and makes it super easy without just running you into the ground.
Yes, it is so nice. And what's great about this is that like it makes it so easy for you as a customer as well. I'm sure the internal business people that are using the system is like, thank goodness we have this thing. But for you as the customer, like I think whenever I go to somewhere that makes that transaction process easier, it's just more painless and more incentive for me to like visit that business. And I pay for pretty much everything on this Apple Watch now.
Okay.
And so the little tappy tap of the Apple Watch onto the Square reader, you don't have to pull out your credit card.
Yeah.
You don't have to pull out your wallet. You're not dealing with cash. You're just so quick and easy. I love that.
It is very seamless, and that's a great way to look at it. It's not just from the side of like, oh, well, this makes my business easier, but it's like, hey, your customers actually like
it's
this
really good for
as well.
Customers.
And like you think of like, oh gosh, paying can be sometimes such a hassle. You're totally just removing that part out of the equation, which
Absolutely.
Is great. But again, like it's fast, it's transparent, accepts every major payment method.
Yep.
Lets you see all your sales and your inventory in real time, understand your earnings immediately with the Square banking. So it's like, that is so very nice. So if you are starting a business or running one that deserves better tools, Square helps you sell, manage, and grow without slowing down. Right now, you can get up to $200 off Square hardware at square.com/go/KitAndKrista. That's SQUARE.com/GO/KitAndKrista. Run your business smarter with Square and get started today.
Well, I'll put the link over here with a QR code for you to scan and also in the description below.
Okay, so we're going to be doing like a twofer on this Star Fox stuff. So first, we're going to rank every game.
Right.
And then once we have the rankings, we're going to do
a tier list.
Because it can't just be like, oh, well, number one is S, number two must be A. It, that's not how it works.
Right. there's going to be some other concessions.
So, who knows, like, in the great echelons and you know, where might there be a gap between all these games?
Exactly.
So we're going to do all that. So let's just start by kind of quickly running through all of the, it's just a refresher on this is what we have to work with.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's not an overwhelming number of Star Fox games.
This is why Star Fox fans are very thirsty.
When you have a series that has like a decade-long drought, you end up with not that many games.
In between each game,
So it's very manageable for us to just kind of run through them all. So Star Fox, the original, we got it here on our side. Rob's holding it. On the SNES back in 93, running on the Super FX chip. Wow. Polygons.
Technology.
On a Super NES, mind-blowing stuff. I think we're all familiar with that. Star Fox 2 people may not be, because this game was canceled, and it was canceled over, this was also an SNES game, canceled over concerns about how the 3D graphics would stack up, because at this point we had a PlayStation, there was a Saturn, there were some concerns of like, you know, this maybe doesn't look great for us. Good news though, it was re-released on the SNES Mini in 2017, it's on NSO now, you should all check it out. It's got this interesting kind of like real-time overworld going for it, where you need to defeat Andross before Corneria gets blown up. There's kind of just like managing the overworld element to it, which is cool. Doesn't have the on-rail stages. It's much more like open.
Right.
It's got the cute little walker that
the
was
walker,
introduced. And it introduced all these different characters that you can play as, or you could play as the main crew, and it also introduced Miu and Faye as well, and they all kind of had different ships of different qualities.
Yeah.
Very, very ambitious, cool game.
Very ambitious game for an SNES.
Yes. Star Fox 64.
What do we all know?
Introduced the Rumble Pack.
I like how every Star Fox game seems to have a little bit of technology associated with it, which is, I think, is a very cool
hallmark
of the series.
They always wanted to push the tech.
Yeah, I love that.
Best-selling Star Fox game at 4 million plus. Introduced the Landmaster and the Blue Marine. Had some multiplayer.
Right.
Again, we're well acquainted with this. Star Fox Adventures.
Ooh.
And I was like, was that really the next game after 64?
It truly was. And it was a long time between the two.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So this is where things start to kind of diverge in terms of the approach. So this is a GameCube game from 2002, developed by Rare.
Yes.
And this was actually Rare's final game.
Yeah.
For Nintendo. And if I recall, like almost like immediately after this game came out, the whole, we're getting picked up by Microsoft happened. So it was like the doors slammed shut.
Dang.
On that chapter of history. So this is not a space combat game. This is a Zelda-style action-adventure game. Starring Fox, it does include a limited number of R-Wing missions, which are okay, but they're definitely not the focus. It's also started at, the story, if you go on YouTube and find a video about, the history of this game.
It's a very, convoluted history.
Started as a different game entirely.
Right, Dinosaur Planet. Right.
On the Nintendo 64, and, there's footage of this game.
Yeah.
Extensive. It was shown.
They reskinned this game with Star Fox characters.
Dinosaur Planet was, shown at E3. People played it.
There's probably
some version of it floating around on the internet if you want to track that down. And kind of later on, it was like, all right, let's adapt this to the GameCube, but let's also adapt it for Star Fox.
Mm-hmm.
First appearance of Crystal.
Oh, boy.
Just as an interesting little...
Spell the correct way.
What?
Kara Y-S-T-A.
Your name is not Crystal.
But it's almost spelled the same.
Okay.
That's the right way to spell it.
Star Fox Assault was next, also on the GameCube in 2005, so 3 years later. Developed by Namco.
Yep.
With, this is a very different kind of game. Three main styles of gameplay on the R-Wing, on the Landmaster, and on foot.
You're getting out of the car, getting out of the plane.
Big emphasis on multiplayer. And actually, the developers said that the original focus was multiplayer when they were working on this game, to the extent that they were like, do we even need
a single player part?
What if we made a multiplayer only game, which kind of been a crazy thing to do in 2005?
But I mean, now it's very popular to do that.
Yes.
Yeah.
20 years later.
20 years later, it's a very normal thing. But they,
Remember, when we did our look back at all the Metacritic scores, this was the lowest scoring one.
Shocking to me.
I don't understand.
Shocking to me.
But again, 20 years, who knows what was going on 20 years ago.
People were crazy.
People were out of their minds.
Out of their minds.
Star Fox Command on the Nintendo DS was next. This is in 2006. The first we made it this far without a handheld Star Fox.
I know.
How did that happen?
It's crazy.
So with this game, Mr. Miyamoto kind of hoped to revisit some of the strategic elements from Star Fox 2. Mm-hmm. And it's got this interesting gameplay where again, like, there's this overworld, and on the DS, you're kind of drawing where you want to go.
Right.
And then you go
then
into
you go.
These very quick battles, and you're back out. So it's kind of like this, like, real-time strategy meets action. Very again, very interesting kind of high-concept sort of approach. Introduces, it's got, you can, 14 playable characters.
A lot of characters.
A lot of new characters. We got Amanda, who is Slippy's fiancé. Congratulations, Slippy.
Slippy found love in the universe.
Wow. We've got Lucy, who is Peppy's daughter. And we have Dash, who is Andross's grandson.
It's like the next generation.
It is a pretty story-heavy game.
Yes.
I don't know.
It's got all those endings and that branching
path. I'll
be
honest, a lot of it felt like fan fiction to me, like the approach and just like the, you know, I mean, maybe this was by design. It didn't seem to take itself super seriously.
Right, I think they
but
were.
But I'm sure the lore nuts out there are like, this is the gospel.
Oh.
So.
Are there, maybe they're not
yes,
as intense.
Yes, the answer is yes.
Intense.
The answer is always yes.
Not as intense as Zelda.
I'm sure there's
a
couple out there.
A little more levity. But I do feel, I get the sense that they're trying to, like, expand the universe with these characters, so.
Did have online multiplayer, and it did have stylus-only controls on the DS, which I think will be a topic of conversation when we start this ranking. Mm-hmm. Star Fox 64 3D.
Yes.
Does this, are we ranking this? Or is this kind of like an asterisk on 64? I'm going to say yes, we should.
I think we should rank it.
I'm going to say yes, we should.
Yeah.
3DS remake of Star Fox 64, 2011. Just little small tweaks and enhancements here and there.
Yeah.
Looked better. It had the 3D, had gyro controls. Did not have online multiplayer, which annoyed people, especially since Command had it.
Why not?
I don't know. I found there were some quotes that I was able to remember of like, yeah, they were kind of like wishy-washy about that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Whatever. That takes us to Star Fox Zero. Wii U 2016, co-developed by Platinum Games. Dual screen gameplay with a Wii U gamepad.
That's right. Controls were questionable.
Challenging, questionable.
Questionable.
Reimagining of Star Fox 64.
Again.
Yes, again.
Again.
The second lowest rated game in the series.
How did Assault get a lower score than this? Shocking.
That's
baffling.
I don't understand.
Baffling.
And then Star Fox Guard. Do we include Star Fox Guard? We have that on our set as well.
I mean, that was notably.
Not a proper full Star Fox game, kind of a side game,
but included with Star Fox Zero, maybe the saving grace of Star Fox Zero, honestly.
I say we include it. Why not? So Wii U 2016, featuring Grippy Toad.
Yes.
Slippy, from Slippy to Grippy, I love those guys. Kind of a tower defense.
So cute.
You know, set up your little cameras with your turrets and take out the robots. That's cool.
It was a cool little game.
You know, started as
cool
one of those.
Cool little side game.
Mr. Miyamoto gamepad experiments. So that kind of takes us through all of the main games. And then we have another big question is, what do we do with Starlink?
Yeah, Starlink is an interesting one because it is one of those things where it also kind of started out as a game that did not have any Star Fox inclusion. And then heavily integrated characters.
Watch our developer interview.
Story and elements. Watch the developer interview. He'll tell you all about how that came to be. I say yes.
Oh, really?
I say yes.
In the rankings?
I say yes.
Okay, we'll see how that goes.
Yeah, I say yes. Because I think the included elements of Star Fox is so intertwined into Starlink that it's not like a one side mission you play as Fox. It is like the whole shebang, the whole game. So, I think yes.
Well, sure, we can try
it. I think yes.
Sure,
I think yes.
Sure, we can try it. So those are the games.
Yeah,
and
those are the games.
I don't know, there's maybe nine or something games.
It's really not that many games over the course
again,
of how many years.
It's very manageable.
Yeah.
So just to get 64 has to be number one. We're starting with just a numbered ranking.
Yeah, well,
from best to worst. It has to be, right?
I mean, yes.
Like, is there any point in debating?
No, I think it.
No.
I mean, with three of the games based on 64, I mean, that is the quintessential Star Fox experience.
Okay, so that's the top. So maybe it's also easiest to assign the bottom from the top
the
to
bottom
the
bottom is Star Fox Zero.
It's Star Fox Zero.
It's obviously Star Fox Zero.
I agree. And it's not even close.
Yeah, it's like a far bottom.
Yeah. Okay. So we've got a lot of things in between.
In between. Right. Now we've got a lot of things.
And that's kind of where it gets interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. I wonder how we want to rank these because a lot of... Are we ranking them? And this is a question.
However you want.
Well, are you ranking them on like how closely they align with Star Fox 64? Because Star Fox 64 is like... representative of like the core DNA of Star
what
Fox
games. What
kind
of ridiculous big brain?
Or
it's,
are you?
It's
are
vibes you, only.
Oh, just vibes.
Vibes only.
Okay.
Yes.
So we don't care that like some of these games don't really quote feel like traditional Star Fox games.
We've been saying for years that we want a new style of Star Fox
I'm
game.
Just asking
so,
the
so,
question.
So by your standards, if we got this miraculous game, it would just go straight to the bottom.
It's
not a rail shooter, F!
I'm just asking the questions.
The wrong questions.
No, I'm asking the right questions.
Star Fox 1 is iconic. I don't think it's number 2, though.
No, it's definitely not number 2.
I don't think it's number 2. What is the appropriate number 2? We have Adventures, Assault. What are the candidates for number 2?
I'm going to say Assault. Assault or Adventures, those two.
I can get on board with Assault at number 2.
I think it's Assault.
Okay. Writing that down.
Yeah. The GameCube Star Fox games are actually the ones I played the most because that's the system that I had.
Yeah.
In that time frame. So I am very familiar with those two.
Star Fox Adventures is an interesting one.
I like that game a lot. But again, it doesn't feel like Star Fox 64.
I don't care. Stop saying that. I don't care about
what?
That. There's a lot that I liked about that game. I wanted to like it more than I ultimately did. I came away from that game feeling a little bored.
I wasn't bored.
It's like there was a lot, there were a lot of things to it, but I just don't feel like they got taken as far as I wished they did.
I do feel like the limited R-Wing missions were kind of an issue.
I didn't care for those. You're very hung up on this on-rail stuff.
It's not the on-rail stuff. It's like, well, if you're playing a Star Fox game, I want to fly around. It can be flying in an
R-Wing. That's
R-Wing.
Not what this game is. This is you're on foot.
That's what I'm saying. Like,
this is Dinosaur Planet.
There are parts of it where you're like, I'll kind of miss that, you know? But
Crystal,
there are other parts.
Crystal, though.
Crystal's great.
Crystal, though.
There are other parts of it where you're like, this is awesome. You know, like, this could be, like, this is really great.
It's like, I just came away from it feeling like, yeah, this is kind of like a watered-down Zelda.
Oh, I wasn't really comparing it to Zelda.
Well, what else is there to compare it to?
Other Star Fox games. Duh.
Your all-time great rail shooter, Sin and Punishment, that I'm pretty sure you've never played.
We finally remember the name Sin and Punishment. I worked on
that game. Well, if it sounds like you're angling for that to be number 3.
Adventures, yes.
And then I think the burden is on me then to come up with a counter to that. Star Fox 2, no. Command, no. 64, no, I can't do that.
Yeah.
Again, there's limited options.
Yeah.
Original Star Fox, though?
Maybe.
That's on rails. I think it's between those two.
Is it blasphemous that original Star Fox is not in the top 3?
No, it's not at all.
Then put it on as number 4.
Well, hold on now. What makes Star Fox Adventures better than Star Fox?
I think it has more like grander ideas, but again, that could be because
We got a polygon on a Super NES.
Exactly,
that's as grand as it gets.
That's almost like an unfair way to judge it because it's like the measuring stick is different when you're on a GameCube versus when you're on SNES. So I could go.
I think by your own metric of how pure is it to the Star Fox experience.
I think
Star Fox defined that and nailed that. And again, like Star Fox 64 is kind
you
of...
You just said you didn't care and you wanted to vibes only.
I'm trying to rate it in a way that you... I'm speaking your language here, okay?
I was just asking the question. You were unable to open your tiny little mind.
The more I talk about this, I think Star Fox is number 3 and Adventures should be number 4.
That's fine with me.
All right. So our top 3, Star Fox 64, Star Fox Assault, Star Fox Adventures 4.
Right.
Very solid number 4. Okay.
Okay.
And Star Fox Zero is circling the drain.
Still last.
Yes.
Almost about to go down.
So what do we have left? We have
Command.
Star Fox 2. We have
Star Fox Command.
64 3D. Guard and Starlink.
Yeah.
Boy, that's a weird group of games.
That is a weird. So hard to play.
That's space. A really weird group of games. Okay. Is there maybe a second lowest? Just below... Star Fox Zero.
I'm going to say Star Fox Command was not my favorite.
So Star Fox Command is a game that had some cool ideas, and the stylus controls just absolutely did not work for me.
This game was the boring one.
Like, at all. Like, I found it literally unplayable.
Just like Star Fox Zero. The game had, like, some interesting ideas, but the controls were unplayable. And not to mention, Star Fox Command was really boring. That was way more boring than Star Fox Adventures.
So Star Fox Command shares a lot with, like we were saying, shares a lot with Star Fox 2. Which is the better of those two games?
Star Fox 2.
Really?
Yeah. I think it was the second last, Star Fox Command.
Why is Star Fox Guard not second to last?
Oh, that game is, like, very innovative, I think. And kind of like, if you look at it as its own game, it's actually really fun and very charming. I don't think it can be lost.
I feel like it doesn't have a lot of staying power. It's kind of like a one-trick pony. It's like, all right, I did a couple of these. I'm good.
But it's a good trick.
I see what this is.
It's fun. It's a fun trick. It's not boring. It's not as boring as Star Fox Command.
All right, we'll put those two as our candidates.
So I think it's Star Fox Command, and then above that is Star Fox 2.
All right, we'll reserve the right to...
And then above that is Star Fox Guard.
You're putting Star Fox Guard ahead of Star Fox 2 and Star Fox Command.
I am.
I cannot let you do that. I think you're crazy. You're crazy for that.
No,
I won't. We cannot do that.
And I would put Starlink above that.
I think Star Fox 2 needs to be above Star Fox Guard.
Fine. Whatever.
But then Star Fox 2, it does have a lot of issues.
It has a lot of issues.
Like, but most of them are due to the hardware. It's like, it was too big of an idea for that poor SNES.
Yeah, yes. Very true.
And it's like, okay, you want to make...
Limited by hardware.
You want to remake Star Fox games, do a cool remake of that.
Yes!
Like, that'd be awesome.
That's a good basis of something to totally remake
with
modern hardware.
And let's actually, judge these game design ideas on something that's more than, like, 5 frames per second.
Exactly. That was just limiting because, like, yeah, the ideas were all there. You just couldn't execute it.
Because I went back this weekend and I played some of that in preparation of this. I was like, there's a lot of really good ideas here.
Yes.
Like the stuff with the little walker.
The walker is great.
It works as about as good as it can. They were trying, and they had a lot of cool ideas.
Yeah, this real time overworld thing was added that tension, like that was good, but like it just couldn't. It literally just didn't work.
Okay.
I would put Starlink. Then put Starlink under.
Well, we have two games left. I think we have Starlink and Star
Fox 64 3D.
I feel like that needs to be just like in the middle.
Yeah.
Star Fox 64 3D.
Just put it after Star Fox Adventures then. As number 5 for now.
Okay.
Yeah, that's fine. It's just what it is, right?
Yeah.
It's nothing, okay. There's no really bells and whistles to
it. I
want to
put it below Star Fox 2. I got to give Star Fox 2 the credit for the ideas. Versus this. It's like, congratulations, you're right.
And then put Starlink after Star Fox 64 3D. Put it above Guard and Command.
I thought you wanted Starlink a little higher, and I might actually be open to that.
Oh, so you want to put... Oh, yeah, you can put Starlink above Star Fox 64 3D.
Okay.
Do you want to do that
Is this
way?
All the games? We have 10 games. Is everything?
Is it really 10 games? Starlink.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. So here's the order as we have it now.
Okay.
1, Star Fox 64.
Odyssey.
2, Star Fox Assault.
Odyssey.
3, Star Fox. 4, Star Fox Adventures. 5, Star Fox 2. 6, Starlink. 7, Star Fox 64 3D, 8, Star Fox Guard, 9, Star Fox Command, and 10, Star Fox Zero.
Yeah, I kind of like that.
How does that feel to you?
I kind of like that. I actually feel like that's pretty good.
You stare at this here. I feel like the only place where I kind of get a weird feeling is Star
Guard
Fox.
Guard and Command.
Is Guard and Command. I think I might want to swap those, but you seem to feel, you made an impassioned defense of Star Fox Guard.
Command was so
And again,
boring. I
found Command to be
and
unplayable.
One is
with the
unplayable.
Stylus.
One is unplayable. I mean, that's.
I bought that game day one. I was excited.
I was like,
I can't play this with this
Same.
Style, unfortunately.
I was excited because I was like, oh, cool. A handheld Star Fox game. That's
And
neat.
Again, there was like the very long fan fiction stuff. It just like went on and on and on. It's like.
Again, I give him credit for the expansion, the attempt to expand the world,
but yeah.
really tough the way it was delivered. Yeah, I think it's very fair to say that the two games that had unplayable controls need to be last.
Okay.
It's right, a game that you literally could not play.
All right, you, like, convinced, that's not, you convinced me.
That's not fair.
I like where we have Starlink.
Me too.
Because it's showing respect to the proper, to the full, from the ground up Star Fox games. I think there's a ceiling on how high you can put Starlink because of that.
Right. And then, but the ones underneath that are either, like, Guard is a little side game. Star Fox 64 3D is a remake.
Yep.
Command and Zero are unplayable. So, yeah, okay. It needs to be above those games.
All right, so let's lock this in. So next we're going to do a tier list, and after we do that, we are going to try and prognosticate where the Switch 2 Star Fox is going to go.
Yes.
So we're going to come back to that after, because based on what you just said is a curious thing that you just said about Star Fox 64 3D.
Exactly. Well, I said it on purpose.
But we'll be back to that.
Because I want to us to think about that.
Okay. So now we're doing the tier list.
Yeah.
S, A, B, C, D, F.
Uh-huh.
Is there anything else, any other tiers you would like to add?
Star Fox Zero gets
Z
for zero.
All right, we're adding a special Z rank, and Star Fox Zero gets that.
Zed.
Yes.
Like you said, Star Fox Zed.
Zed level, okay.
Zed good. Level ranking.
So we've done that. So let's just kind of go through order. Star Fox 64, is that an S?
No.
I think it is, actually. When we did our little playthrough last week, you can check that out on our Patreon.
You liked it that much more? I was going to say A.
I was pretty...
Convince me that it's an S.
I was extremely... back on board with this.
Those inverted controls were not fun.
That's the only reason then it's going right there. No. You're going to learn the right way to live your life.
I'm going
to
invert it immediately when I play when I play the new Star Fox game.
Okay. So that's why it's an S. Star Fox Assault.
That's definitely an A.
Is it an A?
That's an A. That's 100% an A. Yeah.
Let's go the other way around. Star Fox Command. It's not an F.
No, maybe a D.
I think it's a C or a D.
I think it's a D.
Probably a D.
You can't give that a C. Again, unplayable game.
Yeah, I don't think
you
there's...
would give an unplayable game a C.
For some reason, I have like a soft spot for it, but
no, soft spot.
I actually don't know why, based on my own experiences of playing it.
I think Command is a, or I'm sorry,
Guard.
Guard is a C.
I think Guard is also a D, honestly.
I think Guard is a C. You cannot give an unplayable game and a playable game the same score. That's
ridiculous. I mean, one can be not fun.
It's fun. You like that game.
You're based on you yelling at me, it's fun!
You'll have fun and that's it!
You're gonna have fun, darn it!
Grippy Toad!
I do like Grippy Toad.
Okay, then it's a C.
Star Fox Guard, it's C. Star Fox 64 3D, I think that has to be a B.
It's gonna be a B.
Yeah.
It's gonna be a B.
I feel like there's gonna be a lot of games in B.
Yeah.
After that, we have Star... So we're going up now.
Yeah, we're going up.
Starlink?
That's probably a B, too.
I think it's a B.
Yeah, it's a B. A high B, but a B.
And there's no gradation.
No.
Like, oh, it's a B plus... No, it's all just a
B. It's just B. Yeah. In your brain, you can have it, but on this paper, it won't be.
Star Fox 2, I think, is a B.
It's also a B. It's also a B.
Star Fox Adventures?
I think that's also a B.
I think it's... thank God you said that. I didn't want to have that argument.
I think that's really a B.
I really didn't want to have that adventure. Or that argument.
Or the adventure.
When is this coming to NSO?
Oh gosh, who knows?
I would want to replay that.
Yeah.
And see how far I can get before I get bored again.
They should remake that one. That would be great. Yeah. That would be cool.
Well, maybe Rare might be looking for work soon.
There you go.
Thanks, Asha Sharma. I don't know.
They're like, we're back open for business.
Star Fox. So the games that we have, games that we have left are Star Fox and Star Fox Assault.
I honestly think those are both A's. I can get on board with A's for both of those. Star Fox, I mean, your little mind was kind of blown in 1993.
Are they a step above the B's, which are Star Fox 64 3D, Starlink, Star Fox 2, and Star Fox Adventure?
Yes.
They really are.
They truly are.
Okay.
They truly are.
Star Fox
and Star Fox Assault.
Star Fox Assault. Okay.
Wow, that's not bad at all.
So that's all the games. So let's go through this. S tier, Star Fox 64.
I think it's an A, but I'll let you have the S.
A tier, Star Fox and Star Fox. Well, again, by the same metric.
I honestly think that none of these Star Fox games are S tier. But anyways.
You didn't own a Nintendo 64. Your vote is invalidated.
That's fine. I can live with that. Fine. Whatever.
S, Star Fox 64, A, Star Fox and Star Fox Assault, B, Star Fox 64 3D, Starlink, Star Fox 2, and Star Fox Adventures, C, Star Fox Guard, D, Star Fox Command, and not F, but Z, Star Fox Zero.
So painful.
Wow.
Wow. Okay.
The five Star Fox Zero fans out there are punching air right now.
Somebody already said in the comments, I know you're going to rate my beloved Star Fox Zero really low. I'm
and
like, yeah,
were,
I am.
And you were right.
And you were right.
Yes. And yeah. You were right.
Please
is
understand.
Is that only 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10? Okay.
Yeah, 10.
That's all the games.
Okay. I feel good about that.
Yeah.
I feel generally good about
that. Yeah. Okay. So now that we have those set, like we were saying, Star Fox on Switch 2. Where is this going to be? On both. On the ranking and the tier list. And again, we have to say, as of the time of us recording this,
we have not played,
reviews are not out.
Reviews are not
we
out.
We played the demo.
We both played the demo. Obviously, we have not played the
That's
game
it.
Yet. Yeah, exactly. So we're going kind of blind, right? And we have the right to change our mind.
Well, I mean, we have the right to be wrong based on limited information.
And change our mind.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, once we play the game, we can change our mind.
Exactly, that's what I'm saying. Don't hold it against us, you know?
Is it top half or bottom half?
Top half.
I think it's top half.
No, wait.
The bottom half has Star Fox 64 3D, where you said like there's only so high a remake can get.
It's true.
So explain what's different.
We'll see if the added bells and whistles can bump it a little bit. I mean, Star Fox 64 3D was a pretty, like, limited scope remake.
I agree.
Didn't have the multiplayer. It was, like, just kind of, let me just add gyro. You know, it's like, it's very, very small in scope in terms of the improvements. This one does seem to have a bigger scope. Yes, it's still a remake of the original Star Fox 64, but it does seem to have more meat to the bone, you know what I mean?
I agree. I feel like this is why we're having this conversation
exactly.
About Ocarina of Time
yeah.
remake, where it's
what is the meat on that bone?
A 64 you know? To a 3DS remake, there's only so much you can do.
Right.
And now we're on a Switch 2, and there's a lot you can do.
Exactly.
And I think...
It's how are you making those choices, and how are you gonna play that out?
Yeah, I think they're adding a lot to Star Fox on Switch 2 that mm-hmm. can really push it higher. I don't think it's going to be better than the experience of the original.
I don't think it's going to be an S-tier game.
I don't think it's going to be an S-tier game, but I think it could be an A-tier game.
I think it's more likely that it's a B-tier game. I think it's going to be very solid.
We don't actually have to agree on this part.
No, we don't.
No, unlike the other parts.
No, we don't have to agree on this part. So, I think it's going to be
a
fine experience. I think all the additions they're going to put in there, the little changes are going to feel really great, and it's going to feel very modern. It's going to look beautiful. We already know that. We know it's going to run really, really well. We know that they're going to add those cutscenes, and that's going to expand the characters a bit and give you a little bit more story. Hopefully not in a cumbersome, annoying way. But overall, I think it's going to get capped at a B experience.
I think it could be an A.
Okay.
Which means we would have two games called Star Fox, which is a little confusing.
It's like Star Fox,
Star
the
Fox
SNES.
And Star Fox.
Yeah, so it is a Star Fox SNES,
yeah,
Star Fox Switch 2.
And
right?
I think the way it can do that, it can accomplish that, is if... When I want to play Star Fox 64, I no longer reach for that version. It's like, I'll play the Switch 2 version.
That becomes a definitive version.
The definitive version of Star Fox 64. And I
that think becomes your baseline.
I think that's on the table.
Very fair. We'll see if that happens.
Now, ranking. That's a tougher one.
That's tougher. I think it's got to be in the top half. Maybe in the top five?
Top five, absolutely.
Right?
Well, now, is there a case where it could actually be number three? Below Star Fox 64 and Star Fox Assault?
Yes.
I actually think there's a case that it could be number three.
I think so.
I think Star Fox Assault these days, it's like, oh my gosh, the multiplayer was actually so much fun
it
and
was
so
like
unique.
So
and we have this desire.
Core memory for people.
And we have this desire for that to be broken out as part of a future Star Fox game. So that's a tough hurdle. But ahead of original Star Fox,
yes,
in terms of delivering, again, a definitive experience of the on-rails Star Fox, I think it can do that. So I'm going to say it has the potential to be up to number 3.
Yes. I think it's safe to say that it will definitely sit in the top half. If it's really, really good, it can be number 3.
Because again...
But it has to be really good.
Every game from 4 down has some significant issues.
It has some very significant issues.
So for it to say... And again, it's more of a question of, can it leapfrog original Star Fox?
But I think it can.
We'll see.
I think that's not a crazy hurdle to leapfrog over, actually.
Yeah, I agree.
I think it's much harder to leapfrog Assault.
Yeah, I don't think that can happen.
I don't think it can happen either. I do think that top 3 is possible, but only if the game delivers like the perfect top-notch experience. Or else it's going to be a 4 or 5.
Yeah, okay.
Wow.
Last question. What is the series' hidden gem?
I think it's Starlink.
Okay.
Yeah.
I honestly was not expecting us to include Starlink in these rankings, but that's totally fine.
And again, it's not because I'm biased, because I just talked to the developer. I really remember when I played this game, like, wow, that's kind of like what you wished a Star Fox game would be in the modern era. You really thought about, like, okay, now we are doing the thing where we're flying around and we're exploring these planets. We're, like, skimming the surface of these planets.
Yes.
I had, like, that fun little... It was kind of the tail end of the Toys to Life stuff, but I don't know. Holding that controller with the R-Wing on it, I kind of liked it, honestly.
Cool.
I kind of had a sense of, like, childlike wonder, you know?
Oh,
and those, like, swappy parts.
Yeah.
There's something there. There's something
You did not own the physical version. Why do you keep talking about this? You didn't own the physical version.
I didn't own the physical version, but I played around with it.
Okay.
And I liked those little swappy parts, and I thought that was an interesting, like, thing. It's like that, you know, there is a magic moment with those Toys to Life games.
I tried to buy a Starlink R-Wing recently, and
it's all sold out.
It was too expensive.
It's all sold out.
Well, it's not sold out.
It is. Like, I tried to look for it.
You can get it, but it's expensive.
It's very, very hard to find. Very hard to find now.
I think it's, for me, I think it's 2. Because I think, you know, maybe a few years ago we just said it's Assault, but I think everybody is on board with Assault.
Oh, Assault is not a hidden gem.
It's no longer a hidden gem. It's like, it
was never really hidden.
It's a widely, when you're getting a 67 review...
Oh, I don't know.
You're kind of in a hole.
Yeah, that was like my game, because I had that GameCube during like college time, and it was like literally every day we played Star Fox Assault or GoldenEye. Like, it was...
Emphasis on had. Where's that GameCube now?
I think it's
in a dumpster.
I rebought it at the Nintendo Garage.
In a landfill. It's a landfill with those E.T. games. I think Star Fox, it by nature of it being canceled, like, first of all, I don't think a lot of people know even that this game exists or that you can play it.
This game isn't that fun.
I think it is. Like, I think if you can, I think if you can get past the frame rate, there's a lot to appreciate, and it is a different kind of game, and it does show, again, like, we want to see a bigger ambition for Star Fox.
I mean, Starlink,
we can have a different answer. It's okay if we have a different answer. And I think for me, it's Star Fox 2. And again, like, what a crazy thing for them to just, after all these years,
releasing it on this mini.
It's so unlike them.
Yeah. No, that's true. That was pretty cool.
We were there when that happened. It was like, we're just doing it.
Yeah, we're like, wait, what?
There was no discussion of the why or the how. It was just like, we just did it.
Just felt like it.
We just did it.
But now it's even more accessible, so that's good.
And thank goodness they put that on NSO.
I was going to say, yeah.
Didn't just lock it to the mini.
The minis were like impossible to get, so people were kind of mad about that, you know? So it's good that it's accessible now.
We asked our Patreon community this very same question of, what is the Star Fox series hidden gem? You know, we do a lot of polls. And a lot of the time, it's like, yeah, that's kind of how I expected it to go.
Oh,
I gotta say, I'm really surprised at this one.
Really?
I'm very surprised. the winner was Star Fox Adventures with a whopping 50%
that's pretty high.
Of the vote.
That's really very
After
high.
That was Star Fox Assault at 24%, Star Fox Command at 8%, Star Fox Zero at 7%, Star Fox at 6%. My pick, Star Fox 2, came in dead last.
Because it's not fun.
Star Fox 2 was not eligible. We cannot say that that's a hidden gem. And Starlink was not on the list.
Oh, Starlink was not on
the list. Blame me, I wrote the poll.
You really did a bad job.
Starlink was not there. Seb Yuki says, Star Fox Adventures redefined the series and wasn't originally intended to be a Star Fox game. Despite that, it's one of the best adventure games of its generation. Visually, it's still one of Nintendo's most impressive looking games. I don't think Star Fox should abandon its adventure side. Players are attached to these characters, and we want to see them grow and develop, not just experience them from the inside of an R-Wing.
We want to see both, inside and outside.
And we want to see Crystal. The Shark Among Men said, Star Fox Assault remains one of the absolute greatest local multiplayer games ever made.
True.
It has tons of maps, tons of unlocks, the ability to change up rule sets, vehicular combat with R-Wings and Landmasters, a myriad of weapons, and so much more. Star Fox should have continued in this direction.
Mm.
And MC24 says, when viewed like a museum piece, Star Fox 2 is amazing. The tech improvements over Star Fox 93 on such limited hardware is remarkable. So many gameplay elements in future games had their concept origins in Star Fox 2, the Walker in Zero, the strategy map in Command, and Star Wolf in 64. But seeing its graphics compared to even the PS1, I can understand why Nintendo shelved it. I hope renewed interest in the series leads to a modernized remake of Star Fox 2. I agree with every single word that was said there.
This was a plant comment.
That's my burner account on Patreon.
Yeah, you're just calling your own number.
And finally, Gartooth says, where's Super Smash Bros. Melee in the poll? No items, Fox only, Final Destination. There are people there who are like, well, a lot of people, like, this is true, like, a lot of people know Star Fox from Smash Brothers, so we have to create a connection from Star Fox to Smash Brothers, which is easier said than done, honestly.
Yes, that happened a lot.
And it was like, okay, well, how do you suggest we do that? Like, oh,
I don't know,
but you should do it.
You're the marketing person. And then with every game that has sort of like a, you know, a character in Smash, but the game itself isn't as popular, like, oh,
Metroid.
Samus and Metroid, you know, like, gotta create a connection to Smash. It's like, okay, how do we do that? It's quite annoying.
Yeah.
But yes, Fox is very famous.
My gosh.
In Smash Brothers.
Yes. Wow. Lots of Star Fox ranking.
It's fun.
I'm sure everybody agrees. There's nothing to disagree with there.
Someone's yelling. Everyone is yelling.
Punch and air.
Everyone's yelling at everybody.
Yes. We got some cool news coming up. We got another sponsor to shout out first. This episode is sponsored by Cash App. And we talk about this all the time, but Cash App is so cool because it lets you choose a personalized discount.
I love that.
For something that is personally meaningful, important to you.
Yeah.
Love it.
If you weren't up to speed already, Cash App is way more than just a safe way to send and receive money. With Cash App Card, you unlock tons of perks without all the hidden fees. Enjoy benefits like exclusive early access to nationwide concert presales, Kendrick Lamar and Sabrina Carpenter, to name a couple of recent examples, plus discounts on everyday purchases and popular brands you are probably already spending money on. Add your card to your digital wallet to make your money move easier. Cash App adds security to your money by declining suspicious card transactions and sending you a notification to make sure the payment is really you. If your card is ever lost or stolen, you can lock it with just one tap right in the app. Spend with confidence with the Cash App Card today.
New Cash App customers can earn $10 if they use code CASHAPP10 in their profile at sign up and send $5 to a friend within 14 days. Terms apply. Cash App is a financial services platform, not a bank. Banking services provided by Cash App's bank partners. Prepaid debit cards issued by Sutton Bank, member FDIC. Cash App Visa debit flex cards issued by Sutton Bank, member FDIC, and the Bancorp Bank N.A. pursuant to a license from Visa USA, Inc. See terms and conditions for the Sutton prepaid card, Sutton debit flex card, and Bancorp debit flex card. Cash App Green features savings, direct deposit, roundups, overdraft coverage, and discounts provided by Cash App, a Blockcake brand. Visit cash.app/legal/podcast for full disclosure.
Wow. We'll put the link here with the QR code for you to scan and also in the description below.
Couple Patreon questions before we get to the news.
Yes.
Let's start with Manjock. Got a Star Fox question. Got to take it. I want to get your thoughts. Should Star Fox become a strictly entertainment media IP, meaning only movies, TV shows, etc.? Growing up, I've always loved watching Star Fox cutscenes, and of all the animated shorts, the characters are so fleshed out and funny and relatable. On the flip side, not gonna lie, I hated playing the actual games. On-the-rail shooters just aren't for me, and the 3D games were too disorienting. So what do you think? Should Nintendo stop trying to revive Star Fox as a game IP and instead focus it as an entertainment media IP? Seeing this movie poster ad for the new game inspired this question.
It really, that movie ad really made me think of that kind of thing too. It's like, oh gosh, this sort of this revival of Star Fox also kind of started because of the Mario Galaxy movie.
Yes.
So there is such a rich universe that they can tell, they can introduce people to these characters and tell the story in ways that are not with a game, you know? So it's a very valid way to do it.
Well, I bet there's a lot of people out there who are like, well, what do you mean? this game, the series is beloved, this game is beloved, but we just said the best-selling game sold 4 million
only
copies.
Only cracked 4 million.
4 million. So it's not
And we've talked about a lot how on-rail shooters, you know, in this day and age is a pretty dated format.
Not according to you.
I didn't say that. I was asking the question.
Learning new things about you.
I actually do not like this genre at all. Just to set the record straight. I'm not going out of my way to play on-rail shooters, but I mean, I'm not like, I don't hate it, but it's definitely not my favorite. And I can understand people that are like, this is not really for me. I would love to see what the reaction is after this latest game, to see if this gameplay kind of style still has any legs at all in the year 2026.
So the counter to that counter is what do we have to go? Okay, so the games have no, you know, it's not as big as you thought. What experience proof do we have that this can exist as a popular entertainment franchise? We have a cameo mm-hmm. in a Mario movie.
Yep.
We have a 10-minute anime. What else? What are the proof points?
Right, yeah.
So it's like, hopefully it works out somewhere.
But both things are like almost at like a cliff's edge right now. Where like you jump off the cliff and you see which one flies.
Right. So I do think it's worth asking the question of like, it seems like this game's going to be successful, but what if it actually isn't? What if it's like, oh, those Amazon rankings, it's number one. And like, oh, that actually didn't mean anything.
It could happen.
What does that mean for Star Fox? If this game is not a hit,
then maybe they really double down on the game being entertaining.
Do we wait 10 years for another remake?
No, but I think if the game is not a hit at all, maybe they will pivot to 100% entertainment only.
Oh, man.
That could happen because they knew that Fox definitely, they have some data now, at least maybe a little bit, that Fox was something that was memorable or people were interested and excited about when they watched the Galaxy movie. At least they have that proof point.
Yeah.
It's a small one.
That would be a huge risk.
But it would be something. That
would be devastating if this game is not popular because it's like, we're never going to have a better shot to sell a Star Fox
That's
game.
What I'm saying. That the pressure is on right now. This game literally has to succeed in this very moment because they had everything going for them to make this successful. If it's not successful now, it just won't ever be.
And it's not like it has to be like, oh, 30 million sold successful.
No, but it needs to be more than 4 million.
We need to be.
We need to beat the current best-selling record.
It's a very attainable place to be.
And then we need to bring in the new audience. We need to get people reinterested in these characters and potentially even this gameplay mechanic, this gameplay style.
We talked about how it's such a quick turnaround from the announcement, the Mario movie, to the announcement, to the launch.
Right.
But it's now I'm like, maybe it could have been even shorter. Because again, like...
You needed hot.
Who has spoken or thought of the Mario Galaxy movie?
In the last month. Right.
It's like, maybe it could have gotten even tighter on this. I don't know.
I still think back to that question that we had a while back where someone's little sister was counting the days to Star Fox coming out because of the movie.
Yeah.
And when presented with the option of playing like a game that was targeted towards her, which was Yoshi's Mysterious Book, there was no interest there at all, but only interest in Star Fox. Like now if we can have just like 4 million people like that, I think we're going to be okay.
Yeah.
But the potential is there, you know? I think the potential is there.
Let's take one more question from Nintendo Guy Shrews. What is one Nintendo or Nintendo adjacent product that you don't have and would love to someday own?
Oh, I want the Nintendo knitting machine.
Oh, that we saw at the Video Game History Foundation.
I would love to play with that. That seems it would be so much
fun. Wow, you had no hesitation in saying that.
I've been thinking about that a lot. I'm clearly a grandmother.
That's amazing. Okay. Wow, I didn't expect that. Since we're talking Star Fox, do you remember in our old office, we used to have a big Star Fox statue?
We had a Fox McCloud statue.
That was maybe like 3 feet tall.
It was like up to my shoulder.
It had to have been from the 90s. Mm-hmm. And you'll see these sometimes if you go to like kind of like older retro game stores. Yeah, I think they sent them out to game stores. You see them kind of frequently if you go to the right places. I'd love to have one of those. This would be cool to have.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A statue of Fox. Did they only make Fox? Did they make any
I've
of the
never,
other characters?
I've never seen any other
characters either.
He's got a funny look on his face. It's cute.
It's a little bit, proportionally, it's a little bit odd, too.
It's good.
But it's very cute.
It's cute. Yeah. I have also looked at those on eBay, and I actually haven't seen those listed.
Oh,
I wonder what it would cost.
You gotta get lucky. And
make somebody an offer.
Like a flea market or something.
Oh, man.
You gotta get lucky.
Yeah. All right. Let's not wait anymore. Let's get to the news. GTA pre-orders.
Are here.
I mean, by the time you're listening to this, they are open. June 25th.
Are you going to pre-order?
Here's what it says. Pre-orders for Grand Theft Auto 6 will officially begin on June 25th on digital storefronts and at other select retailers. Check out the official cover art. Also available as downloadable artwork. So we got to look at the cover art as well.
Nice.
So the big question remains, and again...
It's like, is the date slipping?
How much does it cost?
Yes.
There were over the weekend some leaks out of Europe about here's all these different versions and they're all very expensive. Did you see this?
I did not see the leaks. No.
The standard edition. It was in some other currency, but I think it was close to like $90 or something.
Just the base game?
Yes. And then there were many special editions.
Of course.
After that.
I mean, I'm sure they're going to do special editions, definitely. But yes. I'm, of course, very. Very curious about what they're pricing the base game at.
So, good reminder, there's not a lot of reason to pre-order this now, unless you want to get some limited special edition that might sell out. But if you're just getting the normal game, you don't have to do that today.
No.
You can hold on to those $100.
You can hold on to it.
For a little bit longer.
Especially if you're getting digital.
This game will be widely available in all formats.
Yeah, and this game is not going to sell out. Exactly. You're not going to have a problem with that. The other question was like, okay, if the pre-orders are opening, then the launch date is definitely not slipping.
Right.
People were like on pins and needles, like, is it going to get delayed again?
Maybe
other, you know, publishers were on pins and needles trying to set launch dates for their various holiday games.
Yep.
And it's clear that, no, the we coming. The homies have waited long enough.
Yeah.
We are coming on November 19th.
Do you like the box art?
I do. I love the box art. This game has such like an attitude about it, obviously. I mean, that's like stating the obvious. But yeah, I think it's great. It really like paints a picture of like, you know, like what you're kind of going to be in for. And
I
like that. It's like sexy. It's like a little bit like... dangerous. I don't know. The alligator's there front and center. I like this.
People dug into it and they found a lot of like comparing it to other like, oh, the a helicopter is always in the top left
it's,
little
the
box.
The top left
it's like,
corner.
All right, there are some cute little callbacks there.
Callbacks, right.
Yeah, I think it's cool. I do wonder, like, does this lead to some sort of an additional trailer at some point?
Right. Maybe they'll drop one when the pre-order is, like, officially open.
Right.
I don't know.
Because, I mean, we can say, like, oh, they don't have to do anything, but it's like, it sounds like they've spent, like, an infinite, like, a record-smashing amount of money on this game. At some point, you do want to do something to actually recoup as much of
if
that
anything,
as you can.
If anything, celebrate that you're done with this thing.
Sure.
And, like, show off a little bit.
Yeah.
Pat yourself on the back with, a banging trailer, you know?
Absolutely.
Like, why not? You have money. It's fine.
I agree.
Like, you don't... Clearly, no one is saying that you have to, like, drum up interest for it. But at some point, you got to celebrate the launch of this long-awaited thing.
Yes.
You know? Like, that's a fun thing to do.
Speaking of things that are expensive...
Oh, yeah.
The pricing for the Steam Machine has been revealed. We were on pins and needles.
GameCube.
After the Steam Deck price increase to see what this would be. Mm-hmm. It's out. It's not cheap. But the thing is shipping soon. So there's two versions. There is a starting entry point version that has 512 gigs of RAM. You can look at the specs here and decide what that means to you.
Right.
That is selling at $1,049.
Oof.
And there's a higher end version that comes with 2 terabytes of memory. $1,349. So $300
extra face plates.
Difference. And it comes with a couple extra face plates. Yes.
Pretty color.
So, you were in the market for this.
Mm-hmm.
I was vaguely in the market for it. I was like, yeah, it could be a fun little pickup.
It's pretty expensive.
This is too expensive. Sorry.
It's pretty expensive, yeah. It's a little rough price-wise. And I think it, you know, doesn't even come with a controller. All of that is sold separately. So, you're just tacking on additional dollars. You know, it's pricey. So... yeah, they're doing some sort of like pre-order situation where you can pre-order it on Steam, and then I think it just ships as they get it. So it is coming like pretty, it's like in the next month. You know, people will. I mean, people have already reviewed this thing, so I think if you're like, I'm making a commitment to get into PC gaming, and this is the only way that I want to do it, sure, that's probably a little bit cheaper than getting a very, very high-end computer or something like that, and a Steam Deck is pretty close to this price as well. So if you really wanted to do, you know, non-portable PC gaming in some way, like maybe you could talk yourself into it, but it's pretty pricey.
It's a lot.
Yeah.
But yeah, the way they're doing pre-orders is interesting. You can sign up and they're randomly picking people.
Right. It's like a lottery, yeah.
Yeah, and it begins shipping on June 29th, so that's really soon. And like you said, like people have reviewed it. Digital Foundry's doing their stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I think they found out that it's...
PS5 level?
Give or take...
Hardware power?
The same power as a base PS5.
Yeah.
People generally seem pretty down on the specs. I mean... The price was going to be high. Obviously, this was not their original target price for this thing.
They probably wanted to get it under $1,000 for sure. But the components are just too expensive
right
now.
I do feel bad for them because it's like, this is going to really hurt what this is. And this thing that you probably worked a long time on. At the last second, it gets...
It just gets kind of like railroaded with all of this other outside factors.
Right.
Do you think one day if the component prices go down... But what if? No?
This interesting quote from Valve that I'll just read, talking about the pricing. The traditional console model is to sell hardware at a loss and make up the revenue with subscription services or by selling games that are locked into the hardware. We think this can make sense for a single business in the short term, but that open ecosystems are better for customers over the long term. PC gaming's history proves this. The openness of the PC gaming space has enabled it to be the primary driver of hardware and software innovation for decades.
Oh, so they're saying, like, because there's no, like, exclusive content, really, because it's, like, a very open platform, that they just have to price it high from the get-go?
So I think this was in response to some people saying, like, well... You have Steam, and that seems to just print money. We got Gabe out here on his yacht, his mega yacht. So maybe you eat some of this, and you help to bring down the price.
Yeah.
And this quote, I don't think this quote gets people over that hump.
No, I don't think anything can really get you over the hump when something is just that expensive.
Yeah, this is not the greatest quote. You know, like we saw the Steam Deck, it did sell out at its new high price.
But how much did they make?
Yeah, I mean, that's the counter to it. I still think there are people who will buy this, but this no longer becomes this sort of like
broad audience.
And this doesn't accomplish the goal of like for people who are on the fence about PC games, who have apprehensions about PC games.
Right.
This doesn't really accomplish that. So,
you're just reaching the same people. This kind of
becomes yet another in the pile, similar type of, you know, lower end gaming PC.
Yeah.
Which I think is a shame because I think they had a real shot of accomplishing that.
Yeah.
With this product.
It's
too
bad.
Closer to the console.
Maybe the intended price.
Like a console, like a PS5 range price. Could have been. I don't know. It's a shame. I just feel kind of bad about it.
Too bad.
Good news though.
Yes.
I forget if it was last week or the week before, one of the cool games that we played at Summer Game Fest was this game Screenbound.
Yes.
Which
I
was
played
this. 3D meets 2D game that you played, and we were lamenting, gosh, it's coming to everything but a Switch. And
lo
guess
and
what?
Behold.
It just got confirmed for Switch 2.
Physical, too.
And they are doing a physical version of it that is not a game key card.
Wow, and look at that.
So I think it's on every platform now. The game is coming September 10th. I believe there's a demo on Steam. This game was just so cool and
so unique.
Original.
Yeah.
This is kind of us calling our own number for the news here, but I was personally very excited to see this.
I'm very, very excited to see this too because I was like, oh, this is just perfect game for Switch.
And
I was interested in absolutely, you know, playing the game when it comes out. I was very impressed with what we played. I thought it was so unique. So I'm so glad that it's on all platforms now.
All right, we got another question from Dallas E. Hey, y'all, I recently got an atypical survey from Nintendo. Normally their surveys are about my experiences with specific games or apps like Nintendo Today. I just got one that asked me about my awareness of industry-wide price hikes and how I engage with video games externally, specific news sites, forums, events, etc. Nintendo doesn't seem to care what competitors are doing. What do you think is up with this survey?
Oh, yeah. So there's some examples here. Like, choose one of the following. Were you
Did you
aware
know this happened?
That this happened? Yeah. Interesting. Yeah, I mean, I feel like this is a new thing for them. This is a new universe that they are navigating in, yeah, in terms of price increases and these, like we talk so much about these external factors that they do not like, sort of taking a pretty big front row seat to how they are running their business. Like they're such an insular company. They're like, we like to do things our way. But it's like at some point, because of what's happening in the world, you can't do that. And so they're probably trying to understand like how their customers feel about that too. Because I think from their thought process is like, if this is the first time for us, it kind of might be the first time for them too. Like the people that have been, you know, traditionally on a Nintendo platform, like they may have not gone through this before. So I think that's kind of where, you know, that information gathering, the motivation is coming from.
Yeah. You know, we also talk about like how endless the reporting cycle is at Nintendo.
Right.
Everybody's like, oh, we need more information. We need more information, which is hilarious because in the end, people generally do nothing.
Yeah. You're just like bound by the information.
We saw this happen in our last couple of years, but this kind of data and insights team became in a very similar way that our team did with reports. It was like, we got to run a server out. We need more data.
We need more data. Yeah.
And it's just like one of these things that never ends. And I felt bad for that team because we saw this. And even it was like, our team was like, oh, we need to ask them to run data for us.
It's like, yeah. It's like, do we, what are we doing with the data?
They're doing a lot of these right now.
Yeah.
You know, is it really worth the time to spin that up and get that going? But I can see this totally being like, oh, we just need more data. And then it just becomes this cascading of like, oh, this question, oh, that was unclear, we need to drill down again, we need to do another one based on that, we need to get to clarity.
They're terrified that people are confused, I think, by what's happening.
Right.
But people are savvier than they think, right? People are getting their news from all different sources, and they're learning information in their own way, but they're just like very concerned that like people may be confused. And I also think that they want to use this as a crutch too, like when, you know, it all hits the fan and everything tanks or whatever, or like the sales go way down or something. That's like, well, it did this not because of the price. It did this because people were confused.
People didn't know.
Right. We didn't communicate it effectively enough. That's who can I point the finger to? You know,
yeah.
But it's certainly not this very obvious thing that happened, which is no one has money to buy this, you know?
And again, it's so funny because like the people are extremely informed on all of these reports and surveys and data points, but the result is often we're just sitting on our hands more.
We just need more data.
Right.
We can't make a decision until we get more data.
Yeah.
And we're just endlessly in the cycle.
Yeah.
And then we do nothing and then the things happen.
And then something else happens.
Need more data.
Yes.
Yeah.
All right. Talking about the games we are playing, we got a surprise with Rhythm Heaven Groove demo drop. I have not played this, but you have?
I did. I played through the whole thing last night. Immediately. I saw it, and I was like, whoa.
What?
It was like 11 p.m., and I was like, I need to
tell
this right now.
Tell me about this.
So you get to play through one little section of the game, which is like four challenges in the remix, which is very typical of Rhythm Heaven games.
Yes.
It gives you a good kind of, you know, cross-section of what to expect. Obviously, there's going to be a lot more modes in this Rhythm Heaven game we saw. Didn't get to try that out. I just did, like, the single-player rhythm games. But it is very charming, very cute. A lot of the sort of the spirit of Rhythm Heaven is alive and well, I would say, in this game. The music is excellent.
Okay.
You know, it's very much in that Rhythm Heaven style. It's very upbeat and very pop. You know, it's very cute. Like they had a couple different little mini games that you can play. They do have the addition of the little person that we saw in the direct that talks to you, that she's basically
doing the
Tomodachi voice.
Is that new?
I've never seen that little person before.
Okay.
I might be remembering.
You'd know better than I would.
Incorrectly, but I don't remember seeing someone that would talk to you that much.
And what are they saying?
So they're basically tutorial. Like they'll just like give you instructions on how to play certain games or certain, like when to press the button, like when you do the little training sessions. It does have a very funny Tomodachi voice. It's very similar to that same like robot Tomodachi voice, which is interesting. I would say that my only, like, not even complaint, but like the only thing I noticed that was like, oh, was like the menus and just the presentation of like the UI was like very bare bones.
Oh.
Like maybe it's something to do with like the font, but it just looked like the back end of like a, it didn't look like finished. But that's a little thing.
Yeah.
The main thing is like are the mini games and are the rhythm games fun, obviously.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, I was like, wow, this like just selecting this, maybe it's just the demo then. I don't know. It's like, it's kind of ugly. Like it's
okay.
It kind of looks like really bare bones. But otherwise, it's really fun. I can't wait to. I'm
off. This came out next week?
It's coming out July 2nd. So yeah.
Is that next week?
Is that next week? Is it?
I think it is.
Maybe. Yes.
Yeah, just a week after Star Fox. It kind of snuck up.
Yeah, that's a little bitty game that you can just play that, you know, alongside something else.
For some people, it's not. It's a big deal.
And it's a big deal for me, but I'm just saying, like, you can multitask this game, for sure.
Sure.
You need to be multitasking anyway when you're playing this game. But it's cute. Very cute.
Yeah.
I liked it.
Okay. Well, that's great. We have both started, as we mentioned at the top, The Adventures of Elliot.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow. What a game.
And... this is a game that I am very confused by because we got it a couple days ago, and up to that point, I had seen the reviews on it, and it got like eights. I think on Metacritic, it has like a 79. I was like, okay, so it's pretty good, but it's got some flaws. But then we started playing, and I'm like, I don't know. I'm about like 5 or 6 hours in at this point, so I've got a long way to go. But I was like, I don't have a lot of issues with this game
at all.
I don't really understand how this game got a 79. It seems way higher than that.
That's very interesting. I actually was so convinced on this game after playing those demos.
Did you play both?
I did.
Oh, so you got a... You skipped...
Yes,
you played through the beginning parts.
Correct.
Oh, okay.
I transferred over that data.
I never played the second demo.
Oh, you didn't?
No, I didn't.
Oh, I was... I've been hyped for this game since that first demo.
Okay.
I was, like, so skeptical when I saw it in that direct, and then we played the demo, and I loved it.
Yeah.
And then, I put the second demo since it transfers. I love it when demos do that, when you can transfer it into the main game, for RPGs. It's great. So, I actually kind of, like, was not even paying attention to any reviews, because I had already, like, you know, in my brain, I was like, I'm 100% excited and going to play this game. So, when you told me how low, like, not low, but what the reviews were, I was surprised.
Yeah.
And I hadn't read a single review to this point. Do you know what their issues are?
I've seen a lot of issues with the story maybe not really going places.
Oh, maybe we need to play longer.
Or being predictable or formulaic. I've also seen people complaining about just, like, how chatty the game is.
It's a little chatty.
And
I would say, I'm not quite
you know me. I am extremely sensitive to that.
To chattiness?
Like, I saw somebody comparing this to, from last year, the new Fantasy Life, which really scared me because that game...
That was extreme. And I played, like... 30 hours
that game
and it was really chatty.
That game made me mad with how it would not let you do something. It would just lock you into these endless prattling. It was like, shut up! Let me play this game. And
I have a higher tolerance than you, but even I.
And initially, there was a little bit of that where it was like, all right, I'm ready to get going. It was like blah, 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 back and forth. But now, a lot of this conversation just happens as you're going around
the adventure.
Doing stuff.
Yeah.
So you always have in the corner this little portrait. You start out with the princess, and she's chatting to you through your earrings.
She has magically.
And then later on, you get
earring.
The fairy that's from the demo, and she's doing the same thing, and she's helping you out, and she's there. And there's just a lot of talking, but as long as it's not interrupting me,
right?
I can live with that.
It's kind of like listening to the radio when you're driving
around.
Yeah,
it's just kind of background stuff.
It's not like you're locked into a cutscene or like a you know dialogue where you're just standing there pressing the A button to like skip through it. Yeah, I haven't found a lot of that in this game. I do agree that there's a lot of talking and stuff like that. Maybe people don't like the hand-holding because there is a bit of hand-holding.
Oh, yeah, the fairy sometimes will give you hints or something.
Yeah, the princess would give you little hints, too.
Yeah, sometimes. I haven't found it to be, like...
I don't care,
so,
but...
So far out there where it's like, oh, I didn't even have a chance to try and do this myself. I haven't really encountered a lot of... Again, like 6 hours in.
Yeah.
So things could change.
Yeah, we're both really enjoying this game, and it definitely has like the trappings of a Zelda game. It has a lot of those inspirations where, you know, you collect different weapons, you explore these dungeons, there's like puzzle solving.
Yeah.
There's a little, I mean, in Elliot is very, it's very Link-esque, but Elliot can jump, which is exciting.
He can talk to.
Elliot can also talk. Elliot's actually kind of hot, honestly. Friant. So the portrait of him is like extremely handsome. But yeah, I mean, it's very similar to that kind of style of game. So yeah. Again, you know, when every Zelda game is like the highest scoring game of all time, you wonder.
So here we go. What if that oh, still HD 2D style, same game, but it was a Zelda game featuring those characters, and it's instead of Princess Hiri or whatever, it's Princess Zelda, Zelda and Navi and chatting Link in your ear. And it's Link, and you're in Hyrule. What kind of bump in the reviews does this game get?
100%. Literally, 10 out of 10.
If it's literally the same game.
10 out of 10.
I was like, this is better, I think, than, darn it, now I'm forgetting the name.
Echoes of Wisdom?
Thank you. Yes.
I knew you were going to say that.
I think this is better than Echoes of Wisdom.
I think so, too. Yeah. 100% better than Echoes of Wisdom. That game had a lot of problems. Anyways,
I'm not sure it's better than A Link Between Worlds.
No.
I'll have to get back to you
it's
on
probably
that.
Probably not better
as
than
I play more. But already I can tell you, like, oh yeah, this Echoes of Wisdom. Like, yeah, this is a cut above.
Yes. And I think that there is something to this idea of like the Nintendo bump. Like the Zelda, yeah. What do they call it? The Zelda bump or whatever. It's a little suspicious.
Where's the Elliot bump? Don't answer that question. Moving on.
I
saw you get that far off look in your eyes.
I wasn't. I wasn't thinking about thumb wrestling. Anyways.
Yeah, I mean, it's got really good. I mean, everything you want out of it is like the exploration, the sense of adventure.
The environments are great.
The battling is actually fun.
Super fun. You get all these different weapons.
It has dungeons.
You can modify all the weapons to your liking with these gems. You can like augment them.
The fairy can actually do stuff. The fairy's not just annoying.
Oh, I haven't gotten the fairy yet. So you're further along than I am.
Oh yeah, the fairy can get all these different powers. I have That's two cool. now. So the fairy can set things on fire.
Ooh.
And then the fairy can also make you run fast.
Is the fairy hot?
No.
Okay.
No. Not that kind of fairy.
Is this Princess Hiria hot?
Mm.
I don't think she is.
She got a lot of chemistry with
Elliot and her are real hitting
it off. She invited him to her bedroom, and I was like, oh, is that allowed?
To hang out.
Oh, princess.
Girl.
Yeah.
Get yours.
But it's got dungeons. It's got proper dungeons.
The dungeons are fun, too.
I actually like the dungeons.
It's also got a little Chrono Trigger.
Yes, the time travel stuff. There's the time travel stuff.
I do like that. I felt the Chrono Trigger.
Bosses that are like challenging and fun.
Yeah, I died twice already on one of the bosses. I also really love the music.
The music is great. The look is great.
Yeah. The story is good so far.
It's nice to get a different kind of HD 2D game that's not just a turn-based RPG.
Yeah, it's very action-oriented.
I really can't think of
a big issue that I have
with this game, especially one that would drop it to a 79. I don't know.
You guys are crazy.
We'll see. We'll see. We'll check back in a week. Maybe this like, is, I actually hate this game.
This game is not an industry plant. That's
I actually
what
hate
happened.
This game. Yeah, I don't
oh, you're going to talk about it in a week and you're going to turn your tables
immediately? I don't know. Maybe something will happen in the next 10 hours or something.
How is that possible?
I don't know. I literally
you
don't
gotta
know.
You got to land the plane, but how is that possible?
The combat's really fun. You get all these weapons. You get
I love the combat.
Okay. It is definitely aping Zelda. It's like, oh, now you got a boomerang. Now you got a bow. It's like all
you
this stuff.
You got a bow, yeah. And then it has like the charge shot,
I got
too.
Bombs. I can blow up a crack in the wall with
the
bombs.
I also got bombs, yes.
Yes.
I mean, that's just RPG. Like, you see a crack in the wall, you're going to blow it up with a bomb. It's just like it's
the execution of it all is like very high level.
Yeah.
Sometimes better than a Zelda game in terms of just the feel of it.
I agree.
And something I always appreciate about this team is like, we are trying to remove any
barriers.
Friction,
yes.
Annoyances, anything aside from a chatty fairy, like you can tell, like there were things like so. It's like if you just die, like I was like, oh, is it gonna? I died once. I was like, oh, it's gonna kick me back to the last checkpoint. It was like, and the fairy was like, no, you can pay money, and I can revive you if you want to do that, or even just like switching weapons. That's very convenient. Mm-hmm. There's just a lot of things in the game that I feel to be convenient.
You can also do a lot of things with like make the text really fast,
yeah.
and all that
also,
stuff.
Also, like Elliot, he moves pretty fast, but now that I have that fast moving thing, like I'm really booking it through there.
Oh, Elliot, you don't even need to hold down a run button.
It's like,
just like
it's like there's not. It doesn't feel like tedious
sluggish.
To run through these worlds. Like I'm getting where I want to go really fast.
You're also not like you're exploring, but they did the design. The level designs in a really good way where it's like you're exploring, you feel like you're discovering things, but you don't feel like you're always lost.
Yeah.
Sometimes I'm like, I'm too lost. Like, this is annoying.
Yeah, you do have a map. That was something. Nina the Hollower didn't have a map, and that kind of bothered me.
Yes, in some places. Your girl needs a map.
You need a map.
There's a little mini, the compass. Yeah, you got all the, and they show you, you know.
It takes slightly too long to load the map, though.
It is a little sluggish.
I was like, why is this taking so long?
That's like the
That's kind of annoying, actually. Yeah.
You do have a lot of fast travel points as well.
Yes, it's convenient.
Everywhere there's a fast travel point.
It's a very convenient game to play. So this game, the weapons, back to the weapons. So you have a sword.
A spear. A bow.
Main weapons. I have a hammer now.
Oh, I don't have a hammer yet. Ooh.
And the hammer, like you can, so you can do a normal attack, you can do a charge attack. If you do a charge attack, it'll like send these guys flying.
Knock them away.
And then also there are these, like bolts in the road, you can just like knock them down.
That's what that thing is. Yeah. Okay. I wasn't sure how to get past that.
And then I most recently got a chain and sickle, which I was like, oh, I didn't expect to get this.
Oh, that's fun.
And it creates this like whirling thing, but only, it doesn't, if the enemy is too close and only the chain touches it, it takes no damage.
So you need to manage the distance. Yeah.
But you can really, like if it's like a mob and you can manage that, you can really take them out.
Some of those enemies are, they can like charge you.
Yeah, and you have a shield too. You can block things.
You can block range attack,
but the shield will break over time, and, mm-hmm. and it'll eventually come back.
Yeah.
I'm just really impressed.
I am too. Yeah. I'm having a great time.
Super impressed.
Yeah, I'm having a great time.
Check out the. It's only $60 too.
Yes.
Check it out.
That's true.
Check it out. The Adventures of Valiant. Check it out.
We're playing on Switch too, by the way.
Yes, and
but it's on all
seems
platforms.
To run. Just fine.
No issues, except for the map that's a little slow to load.
Yeah, I'm not
no
sure
issues.
That's any different on anything else, though.
Right.
I also checked out briefly the Devil May Cry 5 Devil Hunter Edition, which was in the last Nintendo Direct.
Mm-hmm.
And I gotta say, Devil May Cry is not my most...
Beloved.
My most beloved or most played franchise.
Yeah, it is also a genre. It's kind of like Bayonetta, right?
I struggle to get into this. It's like Devil May Cry 1 on the PS2. Like, that was another one where it's like, that's got like a 95 or something.
Yeah, one of the all-time
games. And I was like, you know, I should get this. Oh my gosh, everybody loves this. I should get it. And I bought that game multiple times.
And that gameplay just did not click
And
with
every
you.
Time I was like, yeah, this isn't... Yeah. Doing it for me.
I agree.
And part of it was back then, it was doing the Resident Evil thing where it had the pre-rendered backgrounds, so you could not manipulate those at all. And that I don't think that worked super well for an action game. And then I skipped three, four. I played, finished, and I kind of liked it. I was like, okay that's cool.
Back on board.
It felt like a more modern action game. And then this is five, obviously. There was DMC, which was by Ninja Theory, who we'll see if they remain in operation for much longer. But people seem to generally like that as well. So there's been a lot. And there's also this like Netflix show that people love. So anyway, I've always felt like, yeah, I should try and get back into this. This is something I noticed right away opening this up is like they do seem to kind of expect you to know
already
some of the characters and the story. They kind of just like throw you right into it.
Okay. It is five.
And first of all, it's like I don't care that much.
It's pretty hot.
It's like, okay, if I don't know. There's a lot of them too. There's a lot of guys with white hair.
There's Dante, there's Nero.
And then there's one other guy.
They're all hot.
But they all look kind of vaguely similar.
They could be in the same K-pop group.
Yeah. So you actually play as a lot of different people
in
this game, which is cool. And the guy that you play early on, I think it's Nero. They have this cool gameplay mechanic for him where he's missing his arm, like from the elbow up. But you actually get these like robot arms, and those can do different things.
Kind of like Barrett.
Like you charge it up.
It's got like the gun arm.
There's like a risk reward thing where like if you charge it, you have to charge it up to use it. But if you get hit while it's charged, it just breaks. So there's a lot of risk reward. Then you gotta get another one.
Oh.
And you can buy some, but you find them out in the levels. But he's also got the sword and it's all the stylish action. You're getting all the combos. But I forget Devil Triggers or something. I think that's what that mechanic is called with the fake arms that you can get.
Okay.
This is the fancy edition that's on Switch 2. So I got like
a bunch
all
of stuff.
These. Some of the arms are goofy. And one of the arms is the Mega Man arm that you can get.
That's fun. I was like, oh, that's cool. That's cool. I like that.
I like that. This runs great on a Switch too. I had to go back and check. I was like, was this a PS4 or a PS5 game? So this was a PS4 game, but it looks really nice. It's very smooth.
Kind of neat too. That's like a must have for
this game. Also had one of the. You don't see this often. They were like, you should make sure you change your TV to game mode. So you are not, suffering from lag or input delay or anything like that.
Rhythm Heaven said that too.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
Different kind of game.
Okay.
But same problem. You don't want input lag.
Wow.
On a rhythm game. Wow. Obviously. You don't want input lag on a action game.
Yeah.
Obviously.
There are just some things about these games that I like. The designs of the enemies are never going to click with me. These kind of like weird demon-y looking things that just kind of look a little like
blobby and weird.
Yeah.
I get it.
A lot of the feelings I have for these games are the feelings I have for Bayonetta. So I'm not the perfect person to evaluate this game, but I did think this was cool. This seems like a great version of a really good Devil May Cry.
If you are a fan, you might really like it.
Yeah, so if you're in the market for that on a Switch 2, like I would say go for this one because this one seems really cool.
Yeah.
Last week, I also expressed my excitement over the Spyro Reignited Trilogy.
How did
it was on sale for $10.
But what triggered it for you to even look at it?
So the chain of events was at the Microsoft event. They announced a new Spyro game.
Oh, that's it.
And that had me remembering. I was like,
you kind of missed the series a bit.
I missed out on those original Spyro platformers for reasons I can't exactly explain.
It's very cute.
Because I love platformers. I played all those other platformers on Sony, on all the other systems. So I don't exactly know why. And then I was just going through the eShop, through the little deals, and I saw that, oh my gosh, they got this trilogy for $10. That's all three games, the first three games on the PlayStation.
And you've been playing Spyro 2?
This is from a couple of years. This is not a new game. But they kind of like remade all of those games with like modern graphics and stuff. So I got that and I did a bit of research. And I was like, which is the best one?
Because
I don't have time to play all three. They said play two.
Yeah.
It's like Spyro Ripto's Revenge, I believe.
Yes.
Is the game. And this game is delightful. Immediately taken back to like the late 90s, early 2000s, which is like the aesthetic and like the characters and the voices and the music. It's all just like, games are not going for this aesthetic anymore. And I don't know why.
I think it's still viable in 2026. Why not?
Well, I hope so. And there seems to be a lot of excitement for this
new Spyro game. Is there a multiplayer?
I don't think so.
Okay.
So I think one of the reasons I maybe had some resistance to Spyro in the first place is most platformers, you're playing a person-type person who's got two legs.
It runs on 4 feet.
And Spyro's kind of like a dog where he's going around on his 4 legs. And I was like,
hovery kind of action,
He's got wings. So what he can do, you run around, you can jump. He's got like horns, so he can do like a headbutt.
The headbutt. Yeah.
He can breathe a little bit of fire, and then you can glide around.
It's like a little baby dragon
on your wings, and you go into these worlds, and it's kind of like I'd say they're kind of like medium sized, but there's a good range of things to do. Really good implementation of having you use all of your tools to get through it. But again, it's like a lot of it's just like the feeling. And the presentation of it is like,
it's very charming.
They're just not games that are aiming, they're even trying to do something like this anymore.
Exactly.
And I don't know why, and there seemed to be a lot of excitement around this new Spyro game, so that's cool. I obviously do love Skylanders, though.
Yeah, and we played a lot of Spyro when there was a crossover between Skylanders and Spyro.
Well, Skylanders is
Spyro.
A Spyro game, technically, but
technically.
I would not say that they're... Similar in a lot of ways.
Yeah. Besides that.
But the Skylanders didn't have that similar vibe, that kind of like more optimistic, positive sort of side to it.
Yeah, I think so.
That I love. So I'm pretty excited. Yeah, I want to try and finish the second game. We'll see if I play one or three after that. But I was like, I'm in on this.
Okay.
Yes.
Spyro.
Yes.
Did they say when the new one is coming out?
I don't know, is my honest answer.
Okay.
I don't know.
All right.
Also, this developer, Toys for Bob, who's doing it, is like literally up the road from us.
We should have visited
them. I would like to go visit them. So I'm for the powers that be that are listening to this, this is phase one
Let us come visit
of us making that happen.
Let's do it.
Yes.
Let's do it. Awesome.
Second question from Ninja11. What are your thoughts on Beast of Reincarnation? I just saw it was a non-Pokemon Game Freak game that looked pretty and had a dog companion, and I was sold and decided I didn't want to see any more trailers to avoid spoiling myself, but I was kind of hoping I'd hear your takes on it.
Yeah, how many trailers have they had for this game? Maybe like 2 or 3? Not very many.
Feels like it's enough. I think...
You don't like this game.
Well, it's...
I'm interested.
Here's what I think.
I'm interested.
I think this game is going to come and go. I think the legacy of this game is people being mad of why can't Game Freak make a game that looks like this. I don't think this game is going to have any sort of lasting impact upon release, unfortunately.
You think that people are going to be mad?
I think it'll be fine.
That...
Oh, they already are mad.
They're mad. What
you
are
haven't been paying attention.
What are they mad about? They're mad that a Pokemon game doesn't look like this?
Yes.
They want a realistic Pokemon
game. They're furious.
They want a realistic Pokemon game, right?
They want that level of graphics in a Pokemon game. And it's come out of like, you know, this is Game Freak working with some other partners. Like there's a long list of reasons why, but that didn't stop anybody from being mad.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah.
I'm pretty interested in this game.
I think that is the legacy of this game. I think this game will be completely fine, but I think this game will come and go.
That's so unfortunate.
It's what happens to most games.
I do applaud Game Freak for like doing other things.
Yeah.
Because you can't just...
No, this is a great thing that they do.
Yeah.
But...
Just do Pokemon games?
These games don't always turn out to be great.
Yeah.
Like, there are some really not memorable examples of these games that they do externally with partners.
That's very
well.
True. That's very
like,
true.
Like, remember that game, Town?
Yes.
There's like, oh... Just
Toby Fox did the music for that,
didn't
they? On
paper, like, that looked really promising, and then it just kind of like...
Fizzled out.
Yeah, it's okay.
Yeah, it kind of fizzled.
Whatever.
Yeah.
Harmonite. Some people Harmonite. Like it. I'm not a big fan.
I mean, it's not bad.
Yeah.
The most memorable game of all time, Pocket Card Jockey.
Yes.
Obviously.
Yes.
Can Beast of Reincarnation be the next Pocket Card Jockey?
I don't think so.
Probably not.
I don't
Probably
think
not.
So.
I do have interest, though.
Okay. Well, I'll leave that one to you.
I'm like Ninja 11. Got sold on the dog. Unless the dog dies, and then in that case,
you have to check that
I'm
website.
Have to check that website again. You can't deal with it if the dog.
There's
dies.
A lot of risk of dogs being injured in video games.
It's
what's the deal with
they
that?
Should just not. They should.
What
ban
is the
that.
Percentage of games featuring dogs as like a companion or a friend or something where the dog gets hurt?
Like 90.
It's way too high.
Eight.
Way too high. To the extent these are hurting these games because you're like, I don't think I can play this because there's a chance this might happen.
Yes, exactly.
And this became the norm. What a terrible thing that is.
I think it's terrible. And I think that ESRB should regulate this.
They need something. They need a disclaimer.
They need like dog,
yes.
dog
violence. Rated D for dog injuries.
Dog injuries. DI.
Yes.
DI for dog injuries.
Jeez.
I would really be happy if they could do that. Like animals are injured or animals
yes.
are
animal
are
distress.
Hurt, distressed.
And, yes.
I can't
I agree.
Do that. I would literally filter out every game that had that and not play them.
That's a lot of them.
So there you go.
Man.
Wow.
That's rough. Wow.
Wow.
What an episode. We ranked the Star Foxes again, because I interrupted you at the beginning. Check us out at patreon.com/kittencrystal.
I'm going to interrupt you now.
We have so many great things coming. We're playing an ocarina. We're talking about Zach Fair.
Oh.
Who is Zach Fair's true soulmate? We're going to be talking about that on the spoiler
cast. Oh, I have a lot to say about that. I have a
I'm sure
lot
you do.
To say
I'm sure
about
you do.
That.
Oh, man.
Wow.
Yes.
Wow. So many good things. We're also on the socials. We're on Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, YouTube, Blue Sky, and Threads.
If you are watching this on video, we'd love if you could subscribe to us on YouTube, give the podcast a thumbs up, and leave us a comment. And if you're listening on audio services like Apple Podcasts or Spotify, you can also subscribe over there, give the podcast a 5-star rating, and leave a written review while you're at it.
Please. All right. Let's shout out some wonderful Patreon community members, starting with... Our wonderful final boss, Aaron Hash, also
Aaron
a fox.
Aaron Hash blends in to the Star Fox week.
Also
that,
a fox.
So perfectly, I should say.
Cyber Fox
yes.
is his, like, screen name.
That's basically Fox McCloud.
Basically Cyber Fox McCloud.
Yes.
Team Fox.
It is. Well done,
Love
Aaron
it.
Hash.
Love it. On brand for Star Fox week. Superstars, Mara Mayhem.
Eigenverse.
Mike Chin.
Roy Eschke.
BGM Life.
Think the Hero Wins.
Angela Bycroft.
Thomas O'Rourke.
Kyle LaBeouf.
Andrew Yuhas.
Chili.
Chris Shuri.
Master Discord.
Travis Torling.
MSN Pocket Gamer.
R. Burns.
Kit 10K.
Adrian.
Nathan Clover.
The Shark Among Men.
Rain Tech.
Kiss My Flapjack.
Paul Gill Network.
Cameron.
Frederick Wolf Conrads.
Catsley Nerdy.
Zuber.
And David Williams, Conky Gamer, is our newest superstar.
Welcome! Oh my gosh, David is from South Africa.
I was going to say, the first that we know of First Patreon subscriber in South Africa, perhaps?
Yes.
Wow.
And Clunky Gamers seems to be doing some great things.
Good deeds.
For the community of gamers in South Africa. Yes. So, like, you're going to the good place, yes. David Williams, but we're so glad to have you here. Okay, one up club, Aaron Burgundy.
Ad Cool 2000.
Age 1000.
Ian Evelyn.
Ali Alejandro.
Ali McLovin.
Alejandro Arezgo Borrego.
Andy Robinson.
Angela.
Angie Jojo.
Anthony Kager.
Aristu.
Art 64.
Astro Dev.
Asurax.
Aquatic Fish 22.
Awesome 46.
Beano.
Barnstorm.
Bates.
Berserker.
Big End Gamer with a Y.
Blake Mitchell.
Bob Clayfin.
Boost Toast.
Brad SF56.
Brandon Cooper.
Brandon Kavapal.
Brovac Novak.
Cashew.
Cedric Benson.
Chadir.
Chili Squirrel.
Ty X.
Crispy Saurus.
Christopher Lay.
Chunky Conga.
Colleen Finnegan.
Connor.
Cosmic Titan 718.
CP Coaster Lover.
Captain Alex.
SeaRupper 17.
Cyan Folds.
Cynical Squid.
Daffers.
Dagdaleo.
Dally Dinkum.
Dank.
Dachson.
Davy Smalls.
David Kalpakis.
Delving with Differ.
Dennis M2.
Debbie P.
Dinkum and Poppycomb.
Doghead.
Toyco.
Dre.
Dr. Saturn.
Dubs 496.
Dude Deadlife.
Eccentric Tony.
Elite Peach.
Esparts 50.
You and Granny Boy.
Furman.
Fernie and Jess Forever.
Fox Deploy.
Funky Fresh.
Funky Hand.
Gabriel Velez.
Gamer Likes Anime.
Gamer Nerd 78.
Gary.
Garth the Wolf.
Gartooth.
Jeremy.
Gianni.
Guilty Phoenix 42.
Hannah is Funky.
Heya Jose.
Ira Bell.
Iris Marin.
It's Anthony Time.
It's your boy J-Hove.
Ivan Zito.
Jay Rando.
Jad Jaws.
Jahari Garcia.
Jake the Snake 22X.
Jameson Eisenberg.
James.
James Pritchard.
J-Bar.
Jerry 92602.
Jim Wakelin.
Joe Encarnacion.
Jonathan Rowe.
John Conboy.
Jordan Hemmerly.
Joris.
Joseph Gunter.
Josh.
Joshua Clements.
Juji Fruit.
Just Camtro.
Justin Leminger.
J-Wolf.
Caleb.
Captain 64.
Cat.
Katie Eastep.
Kawa 2796.
Kimepole.
Kevin DeLight.
Katrina.
Kay Hooper.
Kilo Kibo.
Cow Jordan.
Christy Eckert.
Kyle Gamerberry Rookie.
Kyle 325.
Kyle Kretzer.
Larry Fitzpatrick.
Lazy Cat for Coffee.
Leah Rao.
Glenn VX.
Levy.
Lex.
Linko.
Litton.
Luke Hayabusa.
Luna B.
Lynn.
Macho Potato.
Mac the Cat.
Mad Dog 5981.
Magnificent Easy G plus Callie Marie.
Mario Man 392.
Marky Man 64.
Mary Cohen Colson.
Mateus.
Maverick Nate.
Megan.
May plus Leon.
Michael Mazer.
Michael Wong.
Mikey Macaroni.
Mr. Ryan 07.
Motomania.
Mr. Andy Pong.
Mr. Beans and Dip.
Mr. Bendu 101.
Mr. Underscore.
Mute Dog the Gamer.
My Trant.
Nasir.
Naif E.
Nigbia Reeves.
Nimbenda 64.
Ninja 11.
Ninja Black Belt.
Novaru.
One of a Kind.
Omega Index Card.
Oni.
Pangy.
Paper Boat.
Patrice Mallette.
Pave the Way.
Peach Booty.
Pyramar.
Prime Factor.
Prince Charmless.
Pia Switch.
Punky.
Quintet.
Reckless Thomas.
Rob M.
Rob O.
Rob Y.
Robbie DLC.
Bromsky 113.
Rocks.
RT64.
Ryan Hayes Music.
Ryan Haas.
Ryanetta.
Sage Gamer.
Salkson 20XX.
Scott Seward.
Sebastiano Garase.
Sega.
Sharif Jackson.
Shinryu.
Shiny Elizabeth.
Slowbro.
Shump.
Schnozzle.
Spacey Poop.
Spider Girl.
Spicy Munchkin.
Star Fox Jubilation.
Steven.
Stuart Radley.
Swambow.
Pseudo Priest.
Super Nerdy Human.
Sri Tech.
Tales of Link.
Talica. Tamer Rhymes with Hammer.
Tandem.
Tanuki Dragon.
Tay 120 and 64.
Teal Fox 64.
The Hyrule Hero.
The Keggers.
The Quiet One.
Thomas Alvarez.
Three Rivers.
Tickle Me Dinkum.
Thomas, or Tim WC.
Token 777.
Torchy.
Totally Joed.
Totomaru.
Trajawi.
Trevor Collins.
Tug's Puppy Bear.
Tuscoop.
Ty Bear the Bear.
Tyler Geis.
Victor MK.
Mitch Mitcher.
Vinio Games.
Viridian.
Virtual Bot.
Voice for Radio.
Waffles.
Waterblue BH.
WG Grizzy.
Wicked Davey.
William George.
Yummy.
YJ Choi.
Zachary S.
Zalgaroth.
Zapatty.
And Zero Link.
Wow. Wow. What an episode while we're in the midst of Star Fox
Week. I can't even imagine a life without Star Fox Week, and yet it's about to happen.
Oh no.
The sadness is sitting in.
Oh no. You have to get off the hype R-wing soon, unfortunately.
Who are you rooting for in the World Cup before we go? We got to get this out on paper.
USA?
Okay.
I mean, I'm not invested because I have no idea what's going on.
Well, I was initially not invested at all.
And then you were semi-invested?
And now I'm semi-invested.
It's literally happening here.
The next game is here.
July 1st.
We aren't going because the tickets are like $1 million.
They're like crazy. But it's literally happening in our backyard. So the hype is here. So there's all these places next to my house that are doing these viewing parties. And during that Australian US game, like throughout the day, I was hearing like crazy cheering. So people seem into it. Like,
okay.
Seem very invested.
Okay.
So,
I was wondering because it's like, okay, that was an option. You're from China. China, I don't think, is in this.
No.
You know, for me, it's like I also have Sweden.
Sweden
is getting so I've expressed this to you. I'm upset that Sweden is getting outclassed by the Norwegians.
The Norwegians seem to be showing up in every way. They've been the viral hit of the World Cup. They brought their own food.
They brought their brown cheese.
What the heck is brown cheese? They've got this guy,
Holland, who looks like a Viking.
Yes.
And who's got the big brow. I saw the scowl.
There was like some parliament meeting in Norway where they also did rowing.
It upsets me.
As a way to celebrate the Norwegians in the World Cup. So there's some camaraderie.
Let's call it a friendly rivalry between the Swedes and the Norwegians.
You have told me
so it's like,
this.
I need the Swedes to step it up.
Do they have a shot?
We got brown cheese.
Do you really?
Probably.
It's all the same region.
We got stinky stuff. We got weird fish. Yeah, we got some stinky fish.
Herring? Pickled herring?
I'll raise you some stinky fish on your stinky cheese.
Is it stinky or is it just brown?
Some of it's stinky.
Okay.
That's something we won't be doing in a video, eating the stinky fish.
Oh, that is viral TikTok.
The Sir Stroming. No, we're not doing that.
I'm drawing the line right here.
So that's where we end the episode.
I'm drawing the line.
The first mention of Sir Stroming.
I'm drawing the line.
Cut the lines.
Cut the feed. Yes. The podcast is over. See you guys
Time to go. Bye.
Bye.